We begin the Warren County Radio Bible School this morning with a Bible question. And this has to do with the children of Israel in the wilderness after they left Egypt. They murmured and complained, saying, "We don't have anything to eat." And God fed them in the wilderness and provided for them both meat and bread. Now here's the Bible question. What did they use for meat? And what did God give them for bread? What did they have for meat, and what did they have for bread? God provided that for them in the wilderness. Well, we'll answer that question in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I'm Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. So the Bible question is, when the children of Israel left Egypt and murmured in the wilderness because they did not have food to eat, what did the Lord provide for them? The answer is found in Exodus chapter 16, verses 11 through 18. And then I'm going to read verse 35. And here's what it says. Jehovah spake unto Moses, saying, "I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At evening you shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am Jehovah your God. And it came to pass at evening that the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the camp. And when the dew that lay up was gone, behold, upon the face of the wilderness a small round thing, small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, What is it? For they knew not what it was. And Moses said unto them, It is the bread which Jehovah hath given you to eat. This is the thing that Jehovah hath commanded. Gather ye of it every man according to his eating, an omer, a head, according to the number of your persons. Ye shall take it, every man for them that are in his tent. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they measured it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And then verse 35, Exodus 16:35, And the children of Israel did eat the manna 40 years, until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat the manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. So the question is, what did God provide them? Well, for meat in the evening, he provided them quail. And in the morning, he provided them manna. You know, the word manna means, what is it? They were saying, what is it? They were saying, manna, manna. And so they just began to call the little seed that they would find manna. Now they'd have to take that and gather it and grind it and bake it into bread. But the Lord provided that for them. We're going to have a Sunday school lesson now on the giving of the manna. It's a Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam prepared for the Sunday schools of August the 8th, 1926. The title of it is The Giving of the Manna. And the golden text for this Sunday school lesson is John chapter 6 and verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. That's part of the devotional reading. The devotional reading for this lesson is John 6, 33 through 40. And I'm turning there now in my little New Testament, and I'm going to read that to you. John chapter 6, verses 33 through 40. For the bread of God is that which cometh down out of heaven, and giveth life unto the world. They said therefore unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall not hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye have seen me, and ye believe not. All that which the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, for I am come down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that all of that which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that every one that beholdeth the Son and believeth on him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now there's some geographical notes for this lesson about the manna in the wilderness. One of them has to do with the wilderness of Shur. You read about that in Numbers 33 and verse 8. That's S-H-U-R, Shur. It's also called the wilderness of Etham. It is a plain 10 or 12 miles wide, extending along the eastern shore of the Red Sea. Now, you also read about the wilderness of Sin, S-I-N. And you know, that just makes you think about those who are lost in sin, doesn't it? When you think they're lost in a wilderness of sin. Well, there really was a wilderness. It was called Wilderness of Sin. It is southeast of that of Shur and lies between Elam and Sinai. Now, there's a place called Mara. The name Mara means bitterness. You might remember the story of Ruth and Naomi. And Naomi said, call me not Naomi. That means pleasantness. Call me Mara. That means bitterness. Well, there is a place in the wilderness called Mara. It's in the wilderness of Shur. It was the first halting place of the children of Israel after they left the Red Sea. And then Elam was the second halting place. Now Elam, E-A Elam, had some helps and hints for the teachers on the importance of this lesson. The last lesson left the children of Israel just out of Egypt on the eastern shore of the Red Sea, singing the song of deliverance, and the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. These lessons are important for several reasons. Beside furnishing the history of God's people and his dealings with them, their deeper meaning and profounder significance are seen in the fact that these transactions furnish types of good things to come under Christ. No one except God could have so arranged these types. This is proof of the unity and of the inspiration of the Bible. Why, you read in 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 13, about the children of Israel in the wilderness and how they disobeyed God, and how it's a warning for us to remain faithful to God, lest we be cast aside as they were in the wilderness. And the rock from which they drank, well, that was a type of Christ. In John 7, in verse 37, and the manna which they ate, it was a type of him also, for he is the bread of life. John 6, and verse 35. It's best to locate the places in this lesson on a map, and I cannot show you how to do that over the radio, but if you have a map in the back of your Bible, you might look for these places. It's in that little Sinai Peninsula that's there between Egypt and Israel, and look for the wilderness of Shur, or the wilderness of Sin, and Elam, and Sinai, and Mara. And it'll help give you a perspective on this lesson and a place to locate. In fact, with the computers we have now, you can type those things in and look for images and actually see pictures of these places right there at your own table. Now, the first halting place of the children of Israel after they left the Red Sea, as we have learned, was Mara. It means bitterness in the wilderness of Shur, where the waters were bitter, and where the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" When Moses cried unto Jehovah, he showed Moses a tree, which he cast into the waters, and they were sweetened. There God made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. He promised to preserve their health if they would hear and obey him. For Marah, the children of Israel journeyed to Elim, that's E-L-I-M, where they were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees. And they encamped there by the waters, Exodus 15:22-27. And God proved Israel. And by saying God proved Israel, it means God tested them. In Exodus 16:1-4, we read, "And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would that we have died by the hand of Jehovah in the land of Egypt, when we did sit by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us forth into this valley, into this wilderness, to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said Jehovah unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not." So God is going to test them to see if they will obey him. The Israelites had been a month out of Egypt, and the supply of food which they had prepared for their journey was exhausted. Possibly they had stayed with enough food to last them until they should reach the promised land. They had gone to the nearest route and directly toward Canaan, but they did not go that way. They went by way of the wilderness. Again, they murmured against Moses and Aaron, and wished they had died by the hand of Jehovah in Egypt, and accused Moses and Aaron of bringing them into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. God was very merciful to them in their blindness and weakness, and in his school was training them out of a race of slaves into a nation of free men. Then said Jehovah unto Moses, "I will rain bread from heaven for you." To rain bread from heaven was to supply it abundantly. And it came from heaven in that it fell with the dew. Numbers 11:9. It was a miraculous gift of food. He gave them bread out of heaven, we read in John 6:31. This was not the gum called manna which existed in certain trees. God spoke this to Moses and did not simply prompt his thoughts. "The people shall go out and gather," because it lay round about the camp, "a day's portion every day. If they gathered more than this, it bred worms and became foul." God said he did this that I may prove them. The test was whether they would obey God's law concerning the gatherer of manna and trust him for food and substance. At the end of the 40 years journeying in the wilderness, God said, "And thou shalt remember all the way which Jehovah thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or not. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna." We'll continue this study in our next class.